Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
And here we are again. I believe it's show 19, right, Chris?
18. It is.
Yep. Oh, I skipped one. Anyway, good evening from... Well, a little bit warmer Naples, Florida than maybe New England or Iowa or wherever the case may be. Maybe not Austin, but good evening to you, and I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Okay. Well, we have last week we had a very busy, packed show. This week is a little more leisurely. We'll have a little more time for the callers, a little more time for sort of the grab bag kind of thing, open forum kind of things we like to do. But last week we just had a lot of breaking news and a lot to handle. Of course, we'll start off as usual with the NFL, go through those games, and then look at the NFL standings and see what the action so far meant, and go into the next week's schedule. Then we'll move on to the college. We'll talk about the Heisman Trophy. Perry will run down the bowl games, and he won't get us wise guys interrupting him anymore to talk about the Gravy Bowl or the whatever we were all talking about last week with these different things. He's just got that pre-recorded, but he couldn't stand it. We were just too disruptive. So anyway, so he's going to play that, and then we'll talk about some of them maybe, and then we'll go to the grab bag, maybe some NBA, whatever, college basketball, NBA, oh, and hot stove baseball. We'll certainly touch on that. So to get us going with our facts and figures, here's Sean.
And we're even going to address a little bit on something that a regular caller, a very wise listener up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, asked us during the week. So we're going to talk about that. And if she comes in and joins us about this, or if anybody else you want to come in and join us, of course, about this or anything, go to the Zoom app on your smartphone or dial 646-876-9923. Then enter the code 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice. Star 6 mutes you and unmutes you. Star 9 raises your hand if you're on the phone and you want to ask a question. Alt-Y if you're on Zoom on the computer or under that way, the Alt-Y does it. Also, you can leave us a comment. You can anything you want to say throughout the week. If you think of something, you just can't wait until Sunday, 773-572-7715. When you leave a message, do not mark it private. Also, Ringside Robert over on Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, anywhere you can download his podcast, The Ringside Report. You can also hear it on the phone at 773-572-7781, and you can still hear Perry's college football, well, a bowl, and NFL satellite radio schedules, 641-715-3800. Then do 36867 pound, follow the prompts, and you will be there. All right, what's going on this week in the NFL? A lot of craziness there, huh?
There was, but we started on Thursday night. Titans 30, Jaguars 9. I did catch that game, and that game was not close in any way.
Well, Derrick Henry had one of the best performances in years. I think he was well over 200 yards, had four touchdowns, one of them a 99-yard run. The longest 99-yard run time-wise I've ever seen, because he was dodging around and stiff-arming people and this and that. A lot of times they're 10, 12 seconds because a guy breaks into the clear and he's got a lot of speed. Derrick Henry was just bouncing through the whole group, and that was quite a play. But 30-9, and Jacksonville continues to struggle, and Tennessee's in the playoff mix, of course, for the AFC. And we'll talk about where everybody ended up after today's craziness.
So you're saying, Chris, that the Mike Keith call of that would have been unique to hear?
It was unique, and it was a touchdown, Titans. Yes, sir. It was a very, very, very good call. I enjoy Mike Keith. I think he does a good job.
He's one of the more colorful announcers that we have.
Yep.
And we'll talk about announcers one of these days when we really don't have much going on. That's a good topic.
That is.
Chiefs 27, Ravens 24 in overtime. I saw the end of this game. The Ravens had the lead, and the Chiefs.
Oh, that's ready.
Oh, somebody's got some background noise. You may want to mute. But
sounds like somebody's Braille speaker. I know who's that is. Yeah. All right.
But
anyway,
the Chiefs were trailing in this game until the late in the fourth quarter, and then they tied it, went to overtime, and won the game. And
it almost. They almost were coming down. Was the clock going to run out, or were they gonna, when that 4th and 22, Baltimore was driving, but they couldn't convert on a 4th and 22, obviously. And then
RG3 had to come into the game. Yeah, RG3. Yeah, there was an RG3 sighting for the first time in about 5 years, because he had to come in because Jackson was injured. Lamar Jackson was hurt, so he came in, but he had no hope. And he, of course, hadn't been playing all day. Flacco was inactive. So, I don't know how bad the injury was. It seemed to be an ankle injury, so we'll see about that as the week progresses. But, thing is that the Chiefs really, the Ravens really gave them, that was the pattern of the day, but the Chiefs profited from a lot of other action. They managed to survive in advance, as they say, whereas other teams did not.
That's correct, and we'll get to them as we go through our scoreboard here. Colts 24, Texans 21, That helps the Colts after that, frankly, a bad loss last week. They came back now and got a good win this week.
And really, the Colts were ahead by a lot more. The Colts were, pretty much got the game ahead by at least 7, 10, and then Houston just got it to 3 at the end. I mean, the Colts pretty much were in. Houston had a chance to clinch the division this week, and they did not do it. So
yeah. And the Colts are in that 7-6 group that we're going to be talking about in the AFC. So, for that last, we pretty much know that San Diego or the Chargers should have that top spot. Although we'll talk about that too, because they're going to be playing the Chiefs, and they've got a chance at the division still. But we'll get to that in our schedule.
Saints 28, Bucks 14. So the Saints have won. They won their division.
Yes, they did, and they were behind most of the whole first half. I think they were behind as much as 14-3, and then they got their act together and exerted their will, shall we say, on the Bucks. But Saints got it done. And again, divisional games are not easy, and you go in against a divisional foe, and they kind of know each other, and they're going to give you a hard time. And again, we'll talk about that particularly with the Patriots because of the way Dolphins play them down in Miami, that kind of thing. And these things happen, and so the Bucs really did give the Saints a hard time, but the Saints did finally pull away.
Packers 34, Falcons 20. The game really meant nothing, but Aaron Rodgers did pass Tom Brady for most completions today.
Okay. Well, the thing is that Joe Philbin has been waiting to throw challenge flags. He threw his first two challenges within like a minute and a half or 2 minutes or something. I forget. It was a very small amount. His challenges were gone. I guess he didn't win them, so he didn't get a third one for the rest of the game. But he didn't have to worry. They won the game, as we know. And he wanted to show that he's an activist coach. And he's in there pitching. And he threw his challenge flag left and right. And, so there you go.
Well, and my guess is he's hoping that he can do well the last few weeks. Maybe he can get that job. It does not sound like he's going to get it, though.
Right.
Jets 27, Bills 23. There's another game that really didn't mean much, but the Jets, I'm sure, will take the win.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where they were behind most of the time, and of course I had picked Buffalo, so I was pretty happy most of the day, but that didn't work out. But the thing is, the Jets had been blown out by Buffalo earlier in teams of, and my friend Rick said this the other day, teams of similar abilities have a way of evening out. So Bills come in and kill the Jets in the Meadowlands, and then they went to Buffalo, and the Jets found a way to win. So now, they're both, they're even in the standings, I think both 4-9. But, it was a good win for the Jets. Sam Darnold came back and, showed some ability to come back on another team. So that's good.
Giants 40, Redskins 16, and I believe I heard that this was the Redskins' fourth starting quarterback in 5 weeks.
Yes, fourth in 5 weeks. Yes, it is.
So. Yeah, and Mark Sanchez was terrible. The Redskins were terrible. Saquon Barkley.
Saquon
ran
Barkley.
Saquon Barkley ran 80 yards for a touchdown. There was a pass interception off of Bradford. So, the Redskins are done, and there's a few train wrecks in this league, and they're one of them.
Let me correct you real quick, Perry. It was only their third, because it was Alex Smith and Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez, so it's only their third.
They can find another one, they will. Let's put it that way.
Steve Torrey, I'll give credit to that to Steve Torrey. He said there was a fourth in 5 weeks, so that's where I got it.
Maybe they're whoever their backup, because they got to have another quarterback. They'll probably give him a chance. I mean, this is just ridiculous. There's three or four train wrecks in this league, and the Redskins are one of them.
Yep.
Dolphins 34, Patriots 33, and it was on a double lateral with about 7 seconds to go, where the Dolphins scored the game-winning touchdown. And with all due credit, I mean, I did not hear the Dolphins call, but I heard the Patriots from Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak. And you know what? Even though it was against their team, I thought Soucy made a very good call. I mean, because he certainly, it was entertaining. He certainly made it was a very professional call.
Actually, he was complimented by Steve Torrey about that. He said, you know, that was a very good call. And they, one other thing he did was that they just sat there for about 30 seconds, didn't say anything. They did like the Hank Aaron home run Ben Scully treatment. Just let you hear the crowd, because it was so, and I think they were shocked. I think for once in his life, Scott Zolak was speechless. The thing is that you let these teams hang around. This happened to the Steelers, too. We'll get to them later. The Patriots left 7 points on the field that you could talk about. They missed Gronkowski. I can't think of his name. Gostkowski missed the extra point on the first touchdown. He missed a field goal. Brady, and you didn't hear this, Perry, because you were busy, but he didn't throw it away. He got sacked, so they lost another opportunity at a field goal. They lose by 1 point, and they could have easily gotten 7 more.
And Gostkowski, they let
the Dolphins. The other thing they didn't do is they didn't stop the run, and they weren't able to run the ball until the end of the game. Fourth quarter, they played fairly well defensively, but the defense was not there throughout most of the game.
You know, and one thing, Chris, with Gostkowski, he rarely misses anything. So, I mean, that's unusual when he misses.
It is. And it's just a bad omen, because the other time you remember him missing an extra point on a touchdown early in the game was in the championship game in Denver in early 14, when Denver went to the Super Bowl and played Seattle. And, you know, that was, you know, they never recovered from that. They had to go for two at the end of the game to get a tie, and they didn't get it. So that's what happens.
Cowboys 29, Eagles 23 in overtime. Dak Prescott kind of had a rough first half. I mean, they were dominating the game at halftime, and then it turned into a shootout in the second half. But Prescott came back, and both offenses played very well. But in overtime, the Cowboys get the win 29-23 over the Eagles.
Yeah, they had a call in overtime, fourth and a long yard, and they went for it, and they got the first down, the Cowboys did. It seems like there's an unwritten rule in the NFL now, if it's fourth down and less than about, 5 blocks, that you have to go for it anymore, man, because you'll disappoint your player. You know, I really think that the inmates are running the asylums now. I think that we're getting to the point where you can't admit that you maybe don't have confidence in part of your team. And so they have to go for these things if it's less than a yard, and in all kinds of situations that you maybe wouldn't do that, because if they'd missed that, the Eagles could have just come down, kicked the field goal, and won the game. But they did get it with Elliott, and then they got the touchdown of Amari Cooper to win it. Anyway.
Browns 26, Panthers 20. So that was a nice win for the Browns.
It was. The Browns, many people picked the Browns, and they did win it. The Carolina is one of the train wrecks. They've now lost 5 in a row, and I think it is. And they are basically, they lost, as we know, will not win the division. The Saints wrapped that up today. They're now 6-7, and they're well on the outside looking in as far as the NFL or NFC playoffs are concerned. And the Browns are not really going to contend for the playoffs, but they're 5-7-1, and that's pretty respectable.
Well, here was our other good late game. Raiders 24, Steelers 21. And as I told Chris when we were preparing, I said, you know, If there's one thing that the Raiders maybe should have been looking for after what happened with the Patriots is a lateral, and lo and behold, the Steelers got the ball clear down to the 22-yard line, and Chris Boswell, while attempting a field goal, slipped and fell while approaching the ball. So
Boswell, I don't know. He's not been very reliable this year. I'm not saying everybody. Almost every kicker has struggled one week or another, including Guskowski today and so forth. But basically, you know, Boswell has really had some real clunkers. And, you know, they sort of played down. Patriots and Steelers playing next week, 4:25, the big national game of the late window. And I think they may have both been thinking about that. But the Steelers are only half a game. Because they didn't win, they had a chance to take control of that division. And we'll talk about they're only half a game ahead of the Ravens. And, of course, the Ravens in the playoff mix. So it was a damaging loss for the Steelers. And, again, added to the good day of the Chiefs. Chiefs had to be pretty happy about almost everything that happened today.
I would bet they do. Giants 17, Cardinals 3. Another one of those no one cares.
You mean those would be
the 49ers this time. Yeah.
Yeah, the Lions.
Lions 17.
Oh, the Lions. That's right. Yeah, you got me mixed up. You're saying Giants, I'm thinking 49ers. Oh, my goodness.
The Giants already won. They won two games, and then one day
won. Yeah, well, we'll deal with the 49ers. But, the Lions, one of the big plays was a long interception run back by Darius Slay, a good defensive player for the Lions, been there many years. And they were saying on the Lions broadcast that was the one chocolate on the icing on the cake for him, something he really hadn't done yet, but he finally did. And they just pulled away, and it sounded like it was a fairly lackluster game. But it was so funny because it's all relative. Lions are, they were like 4-8 going into this game, and they're talking before that play about they're letting the Cardinals hang around. Well, it's all relative because the Cardinals have a couple, they're like 2-10. And so they were saying the same kinds of things that we're talking with the Patriots and Dolphins. It was kind of a funny thing, but you when you're better, you're supposed to win. That's the way you feel. But when you're on the road, it's a tough place. So anyway, they managed to do it today.
Chargers 26, Bengals 21. That was a game that I think was a little closer than most people thought.
Yeah, the Bengals, again, another train wreck, five losses in a row, and of course they've changed coordinators, and they've done this and that, and they've lost Andy Dalton, and they've, A.J. Green's not there, and it's just a show. Again, they're mathematically in the playoff hunt, but they're not really, because this is just, the wheels have come off the wagon, and they're really in a free fall mode here.
49ers 20, Broncos 14. Tight end for the 49ers, George Kittle, the former Iowa Hawkeye, had a big game for them today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I didn't know he's a former. There's always a former Hawkeye somewhere or a former Mississippi player doing something. As a matter of fact, I forgot to mention the former Mississippi player who got two touchdowns, Bolden, there for the Dolphins, who played for the Patriots earlier. Came back to haunt his old team. But anyway, this was a bad one for, remember, we're talking about teams at 7-6. The Broncos are now not one of them. This was an important loss for them. And of course, they'd lost Emmanuel Sanders last week for the rest of the year, their best offensive weapon, along with the running back there. So, I think they had their hot streak, but I think Denver's starting to slide a little bit.
Rams and the Bears, that game is just underway. Vikings Seahawks tomorrow at 8:15 Eastern. So there would be your scoreboard. And
we'll look at the standings quickly and see what we can see. The Patriots still in good shape for the division. They're 9-4 now. Miami is up to 7-6, but a two-game lead with 3 to go. They should still win the division, all right. And that will be their 10th in a row if they do that. We'll see about that next couple of weeks. The Steelers are 7-5-1, and Baltimore is 7-6. So, again, the Ravens only half a game behind the Steelers. The Steelers in the fourth seed right now and only half a game up on the division. We talked about the Browns going to 5-7-1, and the Bengals are now 5-8. Browns are always happy to be ahead of one of those divisional foes. They haven't been for quite a long time. Houston dropped to 9-4, and the Colts are at 7-6. Game, similar situation with the Patriots. You don't expect the Colts or the Titans, who are now 7-6, to catch the Houston, because two-game lead with 3 to go, but they're in the wild card mix, and that's certainly important. In the West, we have Kansas City now at 11-2, and the Chargers at 10-3, and they're going to meet on Thursday night, as we'll talk about. Denver, we already talked about, kind of took a big step back behind those. They're at 6-7 behind those other teams at 7-6. So in the wild card battle, we have the Chargers clearly leading by three games for that top wild card. Basically, they're going to get the playoffs. But Miami's at 7-6. We have Baltimore at 7-6. And we have Tennessee and Indianapolis at 7-6. So they're all battling for that last wild card. In the NFC East, we have Dallas now in control. They're at 8-5, and Philadelphia is now 6-7, and the train wreck Redskins are 6-7, and Giants 5-8. Little respectability for the Giants after all the yelling early in the year. But again, two-game lead with three to go. Basically, the Cowboys have that division wrapped up. Of course, we don't know much about the North because it has to do with this Bears game tonight. They're 8-4, and the Vikings are 6-5-1. If the Bears were to lose and the Vikings were to win tomorrow in Seattle, they'd be within half a game, but could go the other way, too, and the Bears could win and the Vikings could lose, or they'd stay where they are. So we'll see about that. We don't know. Green Bay did go to 5-7-1. I think they're mathematically alive, and Detroit's 5-8. In the South, New Orleans did win the division now. Second team to clinch their division. They're 11-2. Carolina, again, one of the train wrecks at 6-7. And Tampa Bay and Atlanta also ran. The Rams are, again, in this situation where they're 11-1, and they want to keep winning, stay ahead of the Saints. So we'll see how that goes. And Seattle playing Minnesota, they're at 7-5 right now. Arizona and the 49ers are out of it. So what we have
speaking
in the
of,
NFC...
Speaking of the Saints, though, Chris, today I was just on a note, I was listening to Channel 88, and you know, we of course have been pretty tough on Mr. Zach Strief, their play-by-play. Mm-hmm. I think that was that touchdown, though, where they took the lead late in the game, that was about as exciting as I think I've ever heard that guy.
Yeah, he did fairly well. So the big thing about the wild card is what's happening tomorrow night, because you've got Minnesota at 6-5-1 and Seattle at 7-5, and basically they're the top two wild card teams right now, and so they are going to be fighting for that top spot in the wild card race. Philadelphia has gone to 6-7, as has Washington. Again, Washington, I don't know if it's realistic for them to hang in there. Then we've got, let's see, I'm looking at Carolina's at 6-7. But, you know, it's really looks like it's going to be Minnesota and Seattle. And Philadelphia, yeah, Philadelphia and Washington both at 6-7. Carolina's at 6-7. But it looks like it's going to be Washington or Minnesota, probably
Minnesota
as a wild card.
Minnesota, Seattle, yeah.
Minnesota, Seattle, yeah. Okay. All right, let me grab the schedule here, and we will...
By the way, while he's grabbing the schedule, call in 646-876-9923, 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice. Star 6 meets you. Star 9 raises your hand, or Alt Y on the computer. So there we go. And we have two Saturday games.
And for the callers, by the way, if you think there's going to be any background noise when you call in, please do mute so that we don't hear the background noise, because people don't want to hear the background noise.
Right. Okay. So Thursday night we start off again with a really good game. The Chargers are at Kansas City, 8:20 on Fox. And then the Saturday games, we have Cleveland at Denver is at 4:30, and that's on NFL Network. This will be Saturday games now. Houston's the Jets, I guess, at the first game at 4:30.
Yeah, Houston Jets, 4:30.
That's correct.
See, this schedule has them both at the same time, which I knew it was not true, but we've talked about that the other night. Cleveland at Denver is the late game. That's 8:20. So it's important, of course, for Houston. Houston needs to keep winning to stay ahead in their division and stay try to get a better seed. Cleveland, Denver. Denver's and Cleveland are both kind of on the outside looking in, but they'll play a tough game, I think. That'll be pretty good. For Sunday, we have Arizona, Atlanta, 1 p.m. on Fox. Detroit at Buffalo, 1 p.m. on Fox. Green Bay at Chicago, 1 p.m. on Fox. And, of course, the Packers, even if they can't get in the playoffs, would love to beat the Bears. That's always one of their goals, both ways. Who is ever good, the other team tries to get them, knock them down. Oakland at Cincinnati, 1 p.m. on CBS. Dallas at Indianapolis, there you go, 1 p.m. on Fox. That should be a good game. Miami at Minnesota, 1 p.m. on CBS, important for both teams. Tennessee at the Giants, 1 p.m. on CBS, important for the Titans. Washington at Jacksonville. Well, that's a game you're not going to hear much about on Channel 88. Washington at Jacksonville, 1 p.m. on Fox. Tampa Bay at Baltimore, 1 p.m. on Fox. Again, the key game for the Ravens. Seattle at San Francisco, 4:05 p.m. on Fox. The big game of Sunday, I guess. Patriots at Pittsburgh, 4:25 p.m. on CBS. Philadelphia at the Rams, 8:20 p.m. on the Sunday night game. That'll be a good game. And the Monday night game will be New Orleans at Carolina. Not as a lot of luster gone off that as Carolina, again, one of the train wrecks. But New Orleans at Carolina, 8:15 p.m. on ESPN Watch and ESPN. You probably watch it on your Apple Watch, too, if you had to. I don't even know. Anyway, there you go. That's the NFL schedule for next week.
Yeah. Well, and I guess we'll take colors in a minute, but college football, real quick, there's not a whole lot. Army beat Navy yesterday, and that 10-win season, they're not the old Army team that everybody beats up. Let me tell you, they won. This is a team that should have beat Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's in a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But got to give that a boy to Army also.
Yep, and remember, Army was really, they fired their coach 2-3 years ago. It was the opposite. Navy was the Navy didn't have a good year this year. Navy was the team that was winning 8, 9, 10 games and, going to championship in the AAC and so forth. And now it's the other way around. Army's really turned it around.
Yeah, and the Heisman Trophy, well, most of the awards were presented Thursday night. You know, you had your Walter Camp, your Blitnikoff, Coach of the Year with, who was coach of the year? I don't have all those awards, but of course we know the Heisman. Kyler Murray, he won it. Looks like he's going to play baseball. Remember, he signed that deal with Oakland before the season started, but he still wanted to play this year. They let him. So, but there's rumors that he could be swayed to the NFL, but probably not now. He's going to follow his uncle Calvin Murray, who played college baseball, played Major League. You know, his dad played a little bit of NFL but he's going to follow in his uncle's footsteps. The first Heisman winner since China won, as old Bobby Bowden would say. As Charlie Ward, went right to the end. NBA had a 10-year career, but for him, probably smart move. And especially, he's already got that contract, especially now with Perry. What's the story you got on Kyler Murray?
It came out today that he had to apologize. He had some tweets from his past. Some homophobic tweets, and of course we've heard all about this through the season. We had several players have that happen, and Bill and I were talking about that before the show. And folks, if you are on Twitter and you say something that you're not proud of, I mean, everybody says something that you would want to take back, and if you do that, it is very easy to delete things. Just delete it.
Look at Kevin Hart. It was 10 years ago what he said, and now he voluntarily stepped down for the Oscars. But
that's right.
Kyler Murray, he said something. He apologized. He owned up to what he said. But and a lot of us have. But yeah, be careful. Make sure you don't have anything, in your past. Like I said, just gonna, get somebody, your agent, whoever, say, all right, go through. Take this stuff down, but unfortunately, sometimes that stuff stays around, even if you put it up there. But I think him going baseball probably the smarter move, because I don't think he's a great NFL quarterback. I think he was good in college.
No, I don't think so. Either.
Oklahoma, and I think a lot of people are saying why didn't Tua get it, but I think Oklahoma wouldn't have got to the playoff without Kyler Murray. Alabama showed that even with Jalen Hurts, stepping in, they still won. Tua was good, but I think he'll be a better NFL quarterback. And, Alabama doesn't usually have a lot of quarterbacks under the Saban era make it in the NFL. But I think it's the right decision based on how good the team was. And, I don't know how he is as a baseball player, but, he's decent as a baseball player, but
well, the other thing I heard, our friend Robert, I was talking to him last night, and he told me Murray is kind of short. So there you go with the old Doug Flutie issue again. how tall does a quarterback have to be to succeed in the NFL? And there's coaches who just won't draft you if you're under a certain height.
Right.
That's just the way it is. So that's another problem.
A couple of little news and nuggets here in the college football world. And by the way, what we will do here, we'll just tell you this. If you need the bowl schedule, get your recording devices ready. We'll give you about 5-10 minutes to do that. We'll take calls here in a little bit. But the couple of nuggets here, Iowa State coach Matt Campbell now is under contract through 2024. So that's an extension. He's been the Big 12 Coach of the Year now 2 years in a row. And Ole Miss. Chris always tells you I can find these things. Ole Miss has hired former Colorado coach Mike McIntyre as their new defensive coordinator. So
What do you want to say about, if anything, Perry, about the one? I know that we don't call it 1AA anymore. I forget what it's called, but we're down to the final four in those playoffs, right?
Hold on just a second, John.
That is an interesting thing, Chris, in the coaching thing. Chris Kleiman, who is a former, I mean, here's another one that I always find, a former UNI player, and he started his coaching career there. He's the coach at North Dakota State. He is rumored to be the top gun to succeed Bill Snyder at Kansas State, which we covered that last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and okay. a couple other notes, though, in coaching. Mel Tucker, defensive coordinator at Georgia, he has been named the Colorado head coach. He is not coaching in the Sugar Bowl. Of course, which a lot of them don't. That makes sense. However, Mike Locksley, the offensive coordinator at Alabama, he was a former assistant at Maryland, head coach at New Mexico State. He is the head coach at Maryland. He will go ahead and coach Alabama in the playoff. And I see the pros and cons on both. You know, it's like, hey, you've been with your team, but I'm going on to my new team. For if you're not in the playoff, this is, like Tom Herman said, this is the beginning of our 2019 season. They can start getting things in place. And Kirby Smart, you know, he's a defensive guy, I think. But Mike Locksley, hey, I have a chance to, you know, win a championship, but I'm sure he'll be doing a lot of recruiting, you know, for Alabama before. So I see the pros and cons on both sides of those. So.
And of course, we're going to start hearing, I suspect, this week. We've already heard some, but I suspect this week we're going to start hearing who is and is not playing in bowl games, you know, because they're getting ready for the NFL. So I suspect we'll hear a lot of that this week.
Yeah, I would play in the bowl games, but I kind of, if I were them, but I do see why some of them are thinking, hey, do I want to, what if I go get hurt? Because it has happened. I would still think, especially, you haven't heard as much with Texas because they're on a New Year's Day bowl game for the first time since 2009, January 2010, rematch of, you know they're in a high profile. But you've heard some others, quarterback West Virginia, Will Greer. He's already talked about whether he's going to play or not. A lot of it depends on. Well, they're debating. I think he's one that is not.
He is not. Also, Iowa's receiver Noah Fant has already announced that he is not playing in the Outback Bowl. So you're going to hear a lot of that over this week.
Well, one thing that we didn't mention is Urban Meyer this week.
Urban Meyer.
He is retiring. Oh, yeah, and Ryan Day, his offensive coordinator, the guy who was the interim, he's stepped in. Urban. Now, a lot of people are saying, he was having some health issues. I think this whole situation took a toll on him, but there were times he was slumped over on his knees on the sidelines, and he had a cyst. So I think there was a little bit of both on that, but he'll probably get. I could see him moving into Mac Brown's old position there with ABC ESPN.
Okay. Bill, do we have any hands that are raised that want to come in and talk to us?
Well, I'm seeing Jamal.
Okay.
He raised his hand.
Hello, folks. How y'all?
How you doing, Jamal?
Fine. A couple things here. First of all, about my observation about the Steelers and their loss. I'm not wondering if this could be a bad sign for the Steelers, and they're playing next week against New England. Granted, they're playing in Pittsburgh, but that's going to be an awfully interesting game because if the Patriots beat them, then and if Baltimore wins, Baltimore might overtake them.
That's right. I do think the Patriots. Hey, they beat them. The Patriots have the Steelers number. I think everybody on both sides of the rivalry, most of the time the Patriots beat the Steelers. It's just the way it is. Hey, anything can change on any given week. But last year, look at the crazy game they won down there with that touchdown right at the end of the game. And and then the Steelers had the touchdown with Jesse James. And Jesse James got robbed, I guess they'd say. Yep. So, these things happen. So I think it's going to be a heck of a game. The thing with the Steelers, I forgot to mention, he came back, but Ben Roethlisberger left the middle portion of the game with
that's just what I was going to mention, Chris.
Yeah, I'd forgotten to mention that before.
And no James Conner in today's game either.
Right, that's right. So I don't know if he's is he supposed to be back? Does anybody know how long he's supposed to be out, Conner?
I did not hear how long.
Yeah.
So I haven't either.
But their running backs are pretty good. They got Ridley in there from, for a former Patriot again. Another Patriot running back from LSU was in there. And this guy Samuels was pretty good, a rookie. So, they were doing all right. The running backs were holding their own, I think.
How about this? How about the situation, Jamal, while we have you? How about this situation with the Bulls? Apparently, there was a players-only meeting today, and the players are not happy with the new coach, Moylan. They think that he is running them too much and working them too hard.
Well, I heard Zach LaVine being interviewed the other day after the Celtics destroyed him and talking about how they were embarrassed and how essentially he was saying in so many words that Moylan went too far by pulling out the whole starting lineup twice. Once in the first quarter, once in the third quarter, and that's when the Celtics just destroyed him.
I'm thinking Jamal Moylan is coaching just probably till the end of this year.
I hope so. The Bulls really need to hire a competent coach. But the problem is, would a competent coach want to coach with, I'll keep Beavis and Butthead running the show in the front office. Correct. And I'm being quite nice when I said that, too.
You certainly are. We agree. Bill, any other hands?
Yes, we do. But I want to interject something real quick here. It's just off the wire. Lee Smith and Harold Baines are your new Hall of Fame inductees.
Oh, all right.
And then
all right. Can we say that while we have Chicago on the line?
Right.
Both of those guys, they certainly spent their years in Chicago.
Did you say Harold Baines and Lee Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
Lee Smith, yep. With Lee Smith, I've been hollering for years about this guy getting in the Hall of Fame because at the time he retired, he was baseball's all-time save leader. And yet he should have been in years ago. Mm-hmm. So even though he was a Cub fan, and I'm a White Sox fan, I felt the brother deserved all the credit he got. He pitched pretty well here, too.
He was here for a couple of years with the Red Sox. He pitched pretty well. As a matter of fact, we had him and Jeff Reardon at the same time for a while in 1990. But, Lee Smith helped the Red Sox win the division in 88. And, he was a good contributor here, too.
While we're coming up with that, Bill, I was listening to Jim Duquette and Jim Bowden earlier today, and apparently George Steinbrenner was on the ballot. He apparently then did not make it.
No, he did not. And we've got a new caller on the line, guys. I believe it's Bob from... Bob, is it you?
Bob, welcome aboard, Bob.
Happy holiday, everybody.
What's going on?
I have a question.
Okay.
What things do you have to say to Lady A to get college sports on TuneIn?
It is very tricky, Bob. But basically, I'll use Ole Miss, the team that I would listen to, and I'll tell you what I have to say. I have to say the name, play Ole Miss IMG Sports Network from TuneIn. Now, it may be that, a team that you want, maybe a Learfield team, but unfortunately, it is very tricky to do that.
And almost...
But it is very tricky.
And almost every team is syndicated by IMG or Learfield. So if it doesn't bring it up on IMG, just say Learfield. There's a couple that are by something called Milligan Sports, but you can say on IMG
Milligan.
Or Learfield.
Yeah, it's Milligan, N-E-L-L-I-G-A-N, Milligan.
Well, whatever.
I tried Learfield yesterday. It didn't work.
What team were you trying to listen to?
University of Iowa women's basketball, because
I think the correct thing for Iowa, you'd want to say play. I believe that it's Iowa Hawkeye Sports Network from TuneIn is, I believe, what you have to say. I will research that and tune in next week, and I'll try to get you a good answer.
Would he be able to ask for any stations that are just streaming?
Yes, he would.
Yeah, I get stations that are streaming, but the reason I wanted this is because men's basketball and wrestling are priority over women's, so I wanted to find something that would always have the women's game.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'll bet with TuneIn, you're going to have the men be priority too. But I will try to get you a good answer by next week.
several stations are streaming it anyway. But
they are, yes. WHO streams it. WMT, KXIC. Just to give you a few.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. I will try to get you a good answer though.
Hello, people.
Bill and
hey. Who is that?
That's Pam. Let's see.
Is it Pam? Okay.
Go ahead, Pam.
Pam.
And thank you, Bob.
I apologize. I've been here for a while, but my phone rang a little earlier, and I missed part of the show.
Okay. We're not doing a quiz until later, Pam. So we'll catch up.
Well, what I wanted to ask you is. Or just make a comment having to do with the Chiefs game this afternoon. Tyreek Hill was hurt, though he played through it. I'm just wondering. I locally they're thinking that without him, that Kansas City can't beat the Chargers. What do you guys think?
Well, the Chargers have, and he may be playing, Melvin Gordon may be playing on Thursday night, but they also today, during the game near the end, Eckler got hurt, their other running back. It's hard to say. The problem with all of this kind of stuff, when you're playing the Thursday night game, sometimes there have been people who would have played the next Sunday who can't play on Thursday with just that less time to recuperate. So that's an issue. Do you know what Hill's injury was?
It's an ankle, but it's not a high ankle.
Okay.
They
can maybe tape it up. I have a feeling it's a big game. I think they'll do what they can to get him in there. And again, Melvin Gordon's supposed to be back, I heard. So I think they'll want to get him in there if they possibly can.
And typically we hear more about injuries on Monday, too, than you do on Sunday. So
right,
kind of keep listening to your local stations and they'll...
Knowing them and the Chiefs Kingdom, as they call it, they'll be talking about nothing else for the next 4 days. So I don't think you'll have any trouble finding out what's going on.
This town will be painted red. Trust me.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
If Kansas City can beat the Chargers on Thursday, this town will turn red.
Yep. It was a very good day for the Chiefs, Pam, with that win and the Patriots and Houston losing and the Steelers, although the Steelers kind of weren't in the battle for number one, but Patriots and Houston were, and they've really got a leg up on the number one seed. They've got to win the division, and they'll basically do that if they beat the Chargers Thursday night.
I'll say it this way. If you're married to a cardiologist, you were in luck.
Okay.
There were a lot of people that were in the
Well, I think also if you have an adding machine in your house, it's a good idea, because I think this game is going to be similar, maybe not as crazy, but similar to that Rams Chiefs game earlier in the year.
Oh my God.
Definitely.
Oh yeah.
We are down to it is about 44 after, so I think if we're going to do it, we probably need to go ahead and get these bowls in.
Yeah,
and
that
bowl time. Go ahead and get them in.
Thank you for allowing me to chat.
You bet. Come back.
No problem, Pam.
And we will play you now the pre-recorded version of the bowl schedule. And like I say, if you're going to record...
Oh, Lord. Don't you love all the bowl games?
We'll talk about that afterwards, how many bowl games there are. And if you want to count at home and score them, you're certainly welcome.
Figure out how many there are. And you know what? The gambling people love the bowl games.
Right.
Yes, they do.
The gambling people love them.
It's not just that, but my God, they come up with different names for them every year.
Oh, they do.
They get new sponsors, but anyway,
I don't know if you heard us last week, but we were kind of having a little fun with that. This time, though, Perry's just going to, it's a recording, so Perry won't be dissuaded from his appointed round to be able to read them without us yammering at him.
Here we go. These are your whole matchups, all 40-something of them.
Right.
December 15th. Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl, North Carolina A&T and Alcorn State, noon ABC, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta, New Mexico Bowl, North Texas and Utah State, 2 p.m. ESPN, Branch Field at Dream Style Stadium in Albuquerque. Auto Nation Cure Bowl, Tulane and Louisiana, 2:30 p.m. CBS Sports Network, Camping World Stadium, Orlando, Florida, Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl, Fresno State and Arizona State, 3:30 p.m. ABC, Sam Boyd Stadium, Las Vegas, Nevada. The Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, Georgia Southern, Eastern Michigan, 5:30 p.m. ESPN, Crampton Bowl, Montgomery, Alabama, RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Middle Tennessee and Appalachian State, 9 p.m. ESPN, Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. The next one is on December 18th. Cherrabundi Boca Raton Bowl, UAB, Northern Illinois, 7 p.m. ESPN, Howard Schnellenberger Field at FIU Stadium, Boca Raton, Florida. December 19th, DXL Frisco Bowl, San Diego State and Ohio, 8 p.m. ESPN, Toyota Stadium, Frisco, Texas. December 20th, Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, Marshall in South Florida, 8 p.m. ESPN, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. December 21st, Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl, FIU in Toledo, 12:30 ESPN, Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Nassau, Bahamas. Famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Western Michigan and BYU, 4 p.m. ESPN, Lyle Smith Field at Albertson Stadium, Boise, Idaho. That would be the blue turf for those who know such things. December 22nd, the Jared Birmingham Bowl, Memphis and Wake Forest, noon ESPN, Legion Field, Birmingham, Alabama. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, Houston and Army, 3:30 ESPN, Amon G. Carter Stadium in Fort Worth, Texas. The Dollar General Bowl, Buffalo and Troy, 7 p.m. ESPN, Ladd People Stadium in Montgomery, Alabama. The SoFi Hawaii Bowl, Louisiana Tech in Hawaii, 10:30 p.m. ESPN, Aloha Stadium in Honolulu, Hawaii. December 26th, ServPro First Responder Bowl, Boston College in Boise State, 1:30 ESPN, the Cotton Bowl, Dallas, Texas. Quick Lane Bowl, Minnesota, Georgia Tech, 5:15 ESPN, Ford Field in Detroit. The Cheez-It Bowl, Cal and TCU, 9 p.m. ESPN, Chase Field in Phoenix. December 27th, Walk-On's Independence Bowl, Temple and Duke, 1:30 p.m. ESPN, Independence Stadium, Shreveport, Louisiana. New Era Pinstripe Bowl, Miami and Wisconsin, 5:15 ESPN, Yankee Stadium in New York. Academy Sports Outdoors Texas Bowl, Baylor Vanderbilt, 9 p.m. ESPN, NRG Stadium, Houston. December 28th, Franklin America Mortgage City Music City Bowl, Purdue and Auburn, 1:30 ESPN, Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee. Camping World Bowl, West Virginia, Syracuse, 5:15 ESPN, Camping World Stadium, Orlando, Florida. Valero Alamo Bowl, Iowa State, Washington State, 9 p.m. ESPN, Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. December 29th, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, number 10 Florida, number 7 Michigan. That's the first of the big six, the New Year's Six. New ESPN, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. The Belk Bowl, South Carolina, Virginia, noon on ABC, Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, Arkansas State, Nevada, 1:15 p.m. CBS Sports Network, Arizona Stadium, Tucson, Arizona. College football semifinals at the Goodyear Cotton Bowl. Number 2, Clemson. Number 3 is Notre Dame. 4 p.m. ESPN. AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. College football semifinal at the Capital One Orange Bowl. Number 1, Alabama. Number 4, Oklahoma. 8 p.m. ESPN. Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. December 31st, Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman, Cincinnati and Virginia Tech, noon ESPN, Jack Stevens Field at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, Annapolis, Maryland. The Sun Bowl, Hyundai Sun Bowl, Stanford and Pittsburgh, 2 p.m. CBS. Sun Bowl Stadium, El Paso, Texas. Red Box Bowl, Michigan State and Oregon, 3 p.m. Fox. Levi Stadium, Santa Clara, California. AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Missouri, Oklahoma State, 3:45 ESPN. Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium, Memphis, Tennessee. San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl, Northwestern in Utah, 7 p.m. FS1, SDCU Stadium, San Diego, California. Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, NC State, Texas A&M, 7:30 p.m. ESPN. Tyatt Bank Field, Jacksonville, Florida. The New Year's Day Bowl, January 1st, Outback Bowl, Mississippi State, Iowa. Noon, ESPN 2, Raymond James Stadium, Tampa, Florida. VRBO Citrus Bowl, Kentucky, Penn State, 1 p.m. ABC, Camping World Stadium, Orlando, Florida. PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Number 11, LSU. Number 8, UCF. 1 p.m. ESPN. State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual. Number 9, Washington. Number 6, Ohio State. 5 p.m. Eastern ESPN. Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California. All-State Sugar Bowl. Number 15, Texas. And number 5, Georgia. 8:45 p.m. ESPN. Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. And the final game is on January 7th. It is the National Championship game, 8 p.m. ESPN. That, of course, the winners of the Alabama-Oklahoma game and the winner of the Clemson-Notre Dame game. And that is at Santa Clara, California, as well.
Okay. That's your bowl schedule, folks.
There we go. And basically, answering a question, of course, on that, Shelley, very well-educated and recent graduate, asked the question, why so many bowl games? And, of course, you saw them really jump up in the 50s because teams could they count as exhibition. But in 1990, there were only 22 bowl games. Now there's 41. Oh. ESPN basically decided, hey, when the people were watching them, it's easy programming because those last 2 weeks of the year, it's a lot of year-in-review stuff, not a whole lot going on. So they're like, even though there's only 20,000, 25,000 at some of these games, 30,000, they're like, oh, people will throw on. I mean, people will watch these games even if it's two teams they don't know. You know, you'll be at a family get-together. Everybody, they'll just have it on. You know, or at a Christmas party, they'll have it on. That is exactly what ESPN is shelling out the big bucks, and now some of the other networks are, and they change sponsors every year because, oh, this sponsor gets bored with it, and then this one, and like that one in the Cotton Bowl has changed so many times. But anyway, yeah, that's answering the very well-educated question.
I hope somebody comes into Hard Rock Field Stadium and does something about that turf, because today we had a delay in the Patriots game because a wad of turf came up. They were fighting for a fumble, and they had a five-minute delay because they had to go and put a big wad came out of the stadium. I know it's used a lot by the Miami Hurricanes, by the Dolphins, by, you know, this and that, but they really need, they better get whoever the George Toma of today is to come in and look at it and straighten it out, because that would be embarrassing.
And, Bill, what are we down to, about a minute or a minute and a half or so?
We've got about a minute, and it's a hard
8:59. John, why don't you give us those promos real quick?
All right. Well, first of all, if you want to leave us a message, 773-572-7715. If you want to listen to this or if anybody misses it any week, go to legendoldies.com, click on the talk show page, look up today's date, December the 9th, or any other date that you missed. You can also go to the conversation station, 712-432-6499, hit 4 from the main menu, hit 2, and then 4 pound is this one. 1 is All Things Radio, 2 is All Things Radio Extra, 7 is Coffee Club. Thank y'all for calling. We got the Treasure Island Oldies, very, very good show coming up next. Stay tuned for it, those of you listening live, and thank all of our callers, and hey, you know, next week we're not going to play the bowl schedule. We promise.
No,
so
we should have plenty of time. You guys have memorized it anyway. You don't need it again.
Plenty of time for callers next week.
That's right.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's a wrap.
All right.
All right. There we go.